Hello out there, welcome once again, and thank you for pressing play on Rock. I am Lindsay Hall.
And I am Dave Hall.
And for those of you who we haven't seen for a while, a belated Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Dave. And we hope it's been a pleasant one for those of our brethren in the United States, Europe, South Africa, the South Americas, and in our own country, the handful of folk close to home that listen to us as well. We hope it's been a wonderful season for you. It's been a fairly mild one for Australia in terms of having a summer down here. I don't know if you feel the same way there, Dave.
Yeah, it has been pretty mild. Hasn't been overly hot. We haven't had the heat waves that often come. So it's been nice. And just want to say to our listeners, we are back. We did promise it wasn't the end. We told you it wasn't the farewell.
That's right. You didn't believe us.
We're still here.
You didn't believe us, but here we are. So you know. I'm sure you're not wasting your time feeling foolish. You're just spending your time enjoying the sultry tones of mine and David's voices as we once again talk the legacy and the impact of everybody's favorite band.
I think it's so awesome that we've just, you know, there are people out there that want to listen to these two guys talking about this amazing band. Two guys here.
Two guys from a Petrospective talking about Petra.
Two guys from a Petrospective talking about Petra. And today I thought we might focus on two particular guys in Petra.
Two guys from Petra, perhaps.
Yeah. Like two guys might talk about two guys from Petra.
That sounds just crazy enough to work there, Dave.
And if you haven't picked up, everyone, obviously, this episode, we are looking at the album, which is called, which is by two guys from Petra, entitled Vertical Expressions. So it's not technically a Petra album, but it is a Petra album because it's two guys from Petra.
I think we're saying it's not Petra in the greatest sense of technicality that one could possibly fathom. But David, are you familiar with the original or the proposed title of this album before they settled on Vertical Expressions?
No, I have all the information I know about this.
I am looking at this. Look, you can go into more detail about the actual genesis of the project in a moment, but I am looking at this right in front of me here. At an earlier point, this whole project was promoted through an email chain, and someone, whom I'm going to presume to be Bob Hartman, did a mock-up on his own of a poster or an album cover. Two guys from Petra, guys in this particular case spelt with the letter Z or Z for our American brothers and sisters. The album title, Worship Till the Cops Come.
Say that again.
Worship, I am not till kidding, the cops come. Worship till the cops come. And look, I'm looking at this thing. These are the Roman numerals 2 stand like pillars. They are the biggest feature of this cover. And in each column is a face, and one column is the face of John Schlitt around this era. The other column is the face of Bob Hartman from a much, much earlier era. That's how I know Bob put this together. And guys from Petra goes down the middle vertically in between those two columns. And then underneath, Worship Till the Cops Come. Dave, this thing looks like a hip-hop album. This looks like something that 50 Cent might have put out or something from NWA. I think, you know, there are reasons why they didn't go with this. This does not look like it's going to be, I was about to say rock album, but yeah, we're not even going rock album, a praise and worship album. For
So
those of you who are sitting there going,
this is a praise and worship album.
It is a praise and worship album. If you guys know the website Petrospective, which is no relation to this podcast Petrospective, this particular image and the brief info about this original title can be found there. So,
there you go.
But Dave, like talking vertical expressions, how did we end up here? Because look, last I heard, David, Petra said goodbye. Petra said farewell. They took a big bow and had a farewell tour and retired the band. So how can we be talking about...
They retired. They were gone.
They're gone. They're done. So what's happening now?
So the story, and the story is obviously it's included in the album cover, but it's also something that Bob shared when we he went into a little bit of detail when we did our interview with him a bit over a year ago. But following the retirement from the band, obviously they're doing their own things, and a youth organization reached out to Bob about coming and leading worship at one of their youth camps in the US. And obviously, we're not from the US, but we get the idea. I mean, we've been a part of youth camps here in Australia and our church organizations, and they're still quite a big thing to get young people together and sort of doing something like this. When you get a few, couple of hundred young people together, having that worship element done is a really good thing. So the camp reached out to Bob and asked him to do the worship, and of course Bob, being the sensible person, he shared this on his interview. He knows singing is not his primary gifting; it's not his strength, and so he thought to himself, "Well, what should I do?" So he rang up John, and he invited John to join him and help lead the worship. And as they began to prepare for this camp and start to put together the songs they wanted to do, they basically came up with the idea of, why don't we just put this down as a bit of an album, just lay down the tracks and have them there. So this is the outpouring of what was essentially an opportunity to lead worship at a youth camp in probably around about 2006, because the album itself was released in 2007. So whether the camp was 06 or 07, I'm not exactly certain, but yeah, that's the background of it. Ended to be a mainstream release. It was an album that you could only buy through the website, through Bob's website, through the Petra websites. At least that's why I could be. I don't live in America. Our American listeners may be able to correct us if I'm wrong. But to my knowledge, it was only available through the website. You had to order it online, and so it's a very different feel. It's a very different concept. It's come from a different place, different heart.
Absolutely. I will add in there, Dave, again, thanks to the folk at the Petrospective website. This did have a limited production run and was distributed, but only in Canada.
Oh.
So they partnered with a group called Lyrics Records, or licensed to Lyrics Records for distribution in Canada. And I can imagine that might simply have been in response to the demand of that collection of young people who were at that camp, and then said, hey, I really wouldn't mind having some kind of a memoriam or token or record of the experience of that camp. Which, hey, if I had been in their shoes, I'd have been asking for the exact same thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably a really good reflection there of maybe why this album was released, to make it available to the young people who were at the camp, and it's a great thing. And it's very interesting, because this whole album, like I said, Bob basically he and John just went, let's just lay these down. This wasn't done in a formal recording studio. This wasn't done with a production team. This wasn't done with a recording contract. This was done in Bob's home studio.
Hmm.
And it's really interesting because I was reflecting on this and I was talking to Lindsay in pre-production about this. So 2007, this is the time when the home production, the use of the computer and doing a recording in your garage or in your basement or in your office, this was the rise. This was becoming quite a common thing in that time period. That sort of 06, 07, 08 time period was the rise of the we'll just record at home. We'll just use our own equipment and make these albums, which can be of, near quality that you would expect from a production studio.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly it's we're in that real initial meteoric rise of Apple, sort of charging the home, the do it. So I mean, everything came with GarageBand for Apple. It was that time when they're just saying the tools are now accessible to everyone. But in this particular case, and we were saying this before as well, like Bob's not a novice when it comes to tech stuff.
No.
He was long a guy who figured out how to, maintain his own equipment, how to do his own recording, how to run his own stuff. Back in the early 90s, I can remember being so excited when I stumbled across his website, which he clearly had designed himself. He maintained it himself in that old kind of early 90s style, and he responded to everybody. But it was a pretty comparatively to what was available back then, his stuff was pretty fancy, and it's just because that's in his wheelhouse. The tech stuff is very much in his wheelhouse, so it's no surprise that he's got a good bunch of gear at home, no doubt
Right, absolutely.
of great
Well,
quality.
he probably would have had a lot of probably would have had a lot of the band's actual traveling gear was probably part of what traveling and touring. So he would have had access to that, be able to use that material to help generate, to help facilitate the sound, the recording, equalize it and work with the various levels and the sound quality. He would have had all that equipment as part of what he did. But I think, as we're saying, it's not a novice thing, but like you said, the rise of GarageBand and that sort of those sort of programs really created an environment where people started to record music at home. And it's not just the general public. This was something that started to creep through the music industry. I mean, this is the time period that I think you really started to get a transition in how the music industry operated, because everything started to transition to computer recordings and the digital downloads and everything sort of being made available online. This was the time period of that has essentially transitioned the music industry from what it used to be, recording in recording studios, releasing your albums through via a record contract with a production company, and getting the revenue, the royalties that way, to how it operates now, which is essentially everything is done online. Everything is, the music industry really is very different now. You release singles via programs like Spotify and iTunes and things like that. It's a very different industry now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, but though, I can see this is almost the kind of the attitude of we don't really know what we might do with this, but it just seems a good idea to lay it down while we're hanging out at my house together, John. And here it is, for posterity, two guys from Petra Vertical Expressions. A collection of nine studio recordings of contemporary Christian worship songs, pretty big hits, I guess I would say, if you're going to use that term. This is one that these are pretty well known, certainly in the circles of church that I was involved in.
Oh yeah, these this is This was the first worship album that any band, not just Petra, and I've spoken before about which we talked before about the previous albums, which songs we actually recognized and knew, and honestly how few they actually were on the album. This, but not just Petra, like most people and bands that released worship albums, this was the first one where I knew every single song be
Every song.
going in, like I knew it all. We did a lot of these in the church that I was a part of at the time. So, this was a very, this was one of those ones of, oh, I know all these songs. So it came with a different approach, a different anticipation, because it wasn't what are these songs? I'm learning them. I'm hearing them and letting them wash over me. This really was, I know all these songs. So now I'm hearing it. How are Bob and John, what are they bringing? What are they doing with these songs? How maybe are they doing it different to what I've heard, what I know? What am I? Yeah, and it was a lot easier to sing along to in the car.
No, that's absolutely right. Well, I mean, I guess that's the really the only question to explore here, Dave. Like these songs come now is the time to worship. I'm trading my sorrows, God of wonders. Draw me close. Here I am to worship. My Redeemer lives. Lord, reign in me. We fall down and blessed be your name. I've just named a whole bunch of songs, and I'm sure every single one of you listening is going, oh my goodness, I haven't sung that song in years. I still sing three of these at my church on a regular basis. And considering the fact that they're pushing 30 years old, some of them, that makes me think. But what is I was about to say, what is the Petra treatment for these songs, but I won't say that. What is the two guys from Petra treatment for these nine songs, Dave? What is it that's being brought? Because when I hear about that first invitation given to Bob, what I kind of imagine is that Bob Hartman is rocking up to a retreat with a guitar, and John Schlitt's going to come along and sing. And we're just going to have these two guys up there, unplugged, pretty stripped back, just chill and just lead in some songs with a group. And you can find footage of that on YouTube. There are events that were done, and they have done
Yeah,
exactly that thing.
they did do some touring with that. Yeah, they did do that exact thing with touring.
But that's not what they decided to do for the album, Dave.
No, look, it's certainly you can, it like the last, like Revival, there is a lot of laid guitaring. Bob has certainly brought his feel to the production element. There's multiple layers of guitar on most of the songs. He's electric. He's acoustic. He's playing in there. There are a couple of songs where he brings a little bit of his lead in, but overall, they kept it pretty simple from a recording element. They didn't go overboard and really change up how the songs were done. The big thing about when we go back about Petra Praise 2, it was about taking songs that people knew and really modernizing it, bringing that Petra rock element, bringing it that we want these to be songs that young people sing. But by 2007, that's the Christian music industry. It's not, we're not living in the days of Petra Praise the Rock Cries Out. We're now in a time where everyone brings that style to worship music, from whether it be Hillsong United, Delirious, Michael W. Smith's recording, Stem Kirst Chapman, Amy, everyone recorded something, and it's all in that modern style of music. So they didn't have to bring a new element of we've got to rock these up or change how they feel. A lot of these songs are recorded in a similar style by different for an artist or on the original recording. So these do come across very straightforward. I think the biggest draw of this album is hearing John singing the songs.
I think you're right. I'd say one song in particular, like it's notable that their approach has an effect on the song, and that song's Draw Me Close. Draw Me Close, whenever we sung it, always an incredibly reflective, mellow, very, very slow song. Whereas they play it a lot faster, and John hits the vocals of it like he's hitting any of the rock songs that he did. None of these are pushing his range in terms of the top end. He's keeping it very mellow in the singable range for any congregation that might come. I actually sort of like, kind of using the comparison of what came before for Petra, I think this album ties in, well, has a lot more of the feel of Petra Praise 2 than it does of Revival. I think Revival has a style and a mellowness to it, and John's really, really working with his voice in Revival and trying to find some different expression that's very, very affecting in that album. Whereas in this one, it's almost like, this is nothing about us. Forget about, like, I'm not wanting to draw attention to me as a singer, and John's not really drawing attention as a guitar player. This is just, we're just worshiping and we're playing some worship songs.
I think that there is the biggest key, that this is just straight out worship. It's what you said. They're not trying to draw attention to anything. I think that's the big key. It's not one of Bob's, you know, amazing lead riff introductions with driving rock feel that creates a certain tone for the song. It really, almost every song is a very straightforward bass introduction that you know, that the song really, almost every song on the album, it's almost like the old two and a half times. You know, you get it sort of two and a half times. There's not a lot of repetition or overwork. In fact, you know, one of the things that, you know, one of my over, when I look at it, if I'm looking, and I'm not looking to criticize because I quite enjoy this album, but one of the things that I might have liked to have heard might have been, or maybe one or two of the songs, let John do a little bit of worship ad lib, do a little bit of just sing in the spirit and just let himself go as Bob plays underneath. I would have loved to have heard something like that. And certainly this album would have certainly opened the door for that to be an opportunity. I'm sure when they were live doing this at the camp, it probably something they would have done.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt of that. But let me ask you, how do you find, just sort of sitting back listening? I was actually a bit surprised preparing for this episode. I was thinking Two Guys from Petra is not an album I'm actually familiar with. You know, I'm coming to this pretty new. And then listening to it, I was surprised to realize, oh my goodness, I actually am familiar with this. I think what I had done in my head, I had conflated this album with Revival. It had all congealed into just one big thing in my head of, that's what Revival did with all of, and these songs. But I'm listening to them and I'm like, oh no, I have heard John sing this before. But it's the thing that strikes me is like, as much fun as it is in this context, and I'm glad the album is available, but I don't know, I feel like I'm someone who might struggle if I were in a congregation and John were leading the worship service like he is doing on this album. And it's not because he's a bad singer, but it's because he's got such a specific and unique and distinctive quality and timbre and tone to his voice that is not actually particularly suited to what we typically do when we're in church. It's a voice that draws attention as opposed to a voice that just sets the tone for everybody to join in on. So it cognitively it's quite contrasting. There's a bit of dissonance when I'm hearing these songs, but I'm hearing them in his voice with his almost attack on the melody that he does, hitting him quite hard. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I can see where you're coming from. I felt listening to the album, I felt that John on a lot of the songs was actually a little bit backed off for him. I don't think it, I never felt there are only a couple of songs where I felt he really hit the power range that he's known for. I mean, he has a distinct voice, he has a distinct style, like you said, it's who he is. But at the same time, John, I mean, we know those Petra songs, and we were talking about it on Jekyll and Hyde and Farewell about how he just takes it and really lets it go. There's very little of that occurring on this album. He does seem to approach it from in a different way, and doing his own backing vocals as well, because all the backing vocals are him. So he's got his own layered vocals as well, and I think it brings some different tonal elements to it that I do think does help, does help as a listener to be able to sit there and get the impact of that. This is worship. This is them worshiping. It does. I get the sense that this is how John would worship. If he
I
was in
totally
church,
agree.
if he was in church, not just was a worship leader, if he was singing in the congregation there with his wife and his family at whatever church they go to, this is how I would picture his voice coming through. Because when you're in church, he's not going to draw attention to himself by launching into his massive, high range and all that. He's gonna just be there entering into the presence of God. And this is the sound that we hear on this is how I feel that would be if you were standing next to him in a church.
And I completely agree with you, Dave. And yeah, I do, in saying everything that I said, this is John stripped back. But John stripped back is still very not like, if I was standing next to him in that church service, I would be distracted. I'm sorry, man. I'd be keep going, like, I just want to listen to the guy rocking out next to me because he's got
That's
an
it.
epic voice.
But see, these are conversations. Like I've come in late. I've got two sons. One son's 16 and the other son is 13 and a half. And my 16-year-old loves to worship, loves to sing. He loves to sing along to various stuff. But my 13-year-old is a little less comfortable singing aloud, and he's the sort of guy that will just listen and reflect, and he sings sometimes, but John's worship comes from the heart. Worship doesn't have to be an outpouring of singing, and you can worship by just letting it sing over you and dwelling and listening and just letting the words fill your spirit. That's what I think John brings to, so what you're saying there, you get caught up listening to him, but at the same time, you can get caught up listening to him, and it can lift you. He lifts your spirit when it helps lift your spirit up and really help you see, that element and can draw you into that presence because of that. What you're saying, it's easy. I'll get distracted. I just want to listen to him, but that's not a bad thing.
No, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just reflecting that it's a thing that it just does stand out, and it makes the experience of listening to these songs as it's played in this album very different. You combine that with the fact that in this album, for whatever reason, the arrangement that Bob chose to pursue for pretty much all nine of the songs, they're all close to identical in tempo and in rhythm, and in volume and in intensity. there's a real uniformity amongst them, songs, which I have classically been used to actually being some of these being wildly different, some being much more mellow and reflective, and some of them being a lot more upbeat. And this kind of really, really homogenizes all of them.
And maybe that.
It's the thing. I'm just saying that I find that, you know, you combine that with John, with what John's doing in the album, like it makes it something that I'm not inclined to sing along with. I'm inclined to listen to, if it's playing. In some of the cases, I go as far to say, to me, it messes too much with the vibe of the song. And Draw Me Close is the biggest example. What they're doing messes too much with the vibe of that song that I don't quite get into it. But you know what? Having said that, if I were there present in the midst of believers in that moment and they were doing it in the exact same way, I might have a very different response. If I were touching the spirit in that moment.
And that may very well be an outflow of Bob and John, like, producing the album themselves, the in-house production idea of doing it in your own studio, on your own equipment, your own computer. They're going to be bringing, well, this is the sound we're looking for. This is what we're going to do when we do it at the camp, and this is how it's going to feel and whatever. And the impact of not having an external third party producer who's sort of the extra set of ears listening to it goes, well, maybe you could try doing this, or maybe if we change the tempo there or lift the volume in that spot or bring that element to it. So, you know, that extra set of ears and eyes that can help produce the sound that brings those differentiations from song to song. And it's not that there wasn't some extra help. I mean, and we haven't touched on this yet. Obviously, you know, it's known that you know, it's not just Bob and John, because there are some keyboards, there are some bass, there are some drums, but those were recorded. Those were sort of recorded and produced by Jimmy Cooper. So we've got a link back. Jimmy Cooper involved again, the way he was in Farewell. Jimmy's back. And we don't know a lot about what's happened here. I suspect that perhaps what happened was Bob and John laid down the tracks, sent it to Jim. Jim brought in a couple of guys to do the drums and the keys and the bass to fit in with what was done, and probably sent it back to Bob for final production, because I know that Bob was the one who did the final production. So yeah, missing that external influence may have generated that sound feel that you were just talking about, that sort of that very similar from song to song, not a lot of difference.
Possibly. And yeah. But, and again, in saying that, like, yeah, these are kind of mild criticisms, like, because an album like this, you know, isn't one that the purpose of it is not about exploring creative expression or creating art in the way that, you know, music tends to be. This is very much, yeah, it's just that expression of, let's just capture kind of where we're at this moment in time for this project.
And it's that vertical expression. It's that vertical expression, us to God, where we're at, how we're feeling at this point in time.
Yeah. And so I'm very grateful for the existence of the album, for the project, that they made that decision to capture it, but also grateful for another reason, because in a decision that I don't fully grasp, I don't fully understand why, but again, I'm grateful that they did. This album contains two bonus tracks. Only very one much of them is listed as a bonus track, but technically speaking, I think they're both bonus tracks. The final two tracks on this album are quite solidly and unabashedly Petra. They are the final lineup of Petra, all four members, captured live at their Farewell concert. So one do you have the thing on which particular show it was done at?
It was the it was the recording of the Farewell album. These are the two songs that were cut from the final production of the Farewell album. And we sort of shared last time that there are a couple of songs that were not included on the album. And I can only assume it was a it ended up being a space, like how much room you've got on a CD, how much how much space you have to record. And I think that's these were the two songs that were left off, and Bob has chosen to include them. Very gratefully, he has chosen to include them on this album, which I think is a great
Absolutely.
benefit to all of us fans.
Absolutely.
And
Now, tying
it's
in.
good because we've got, there you
Well,
go.
yeah, tying in with the theme of the album, you've got what was you could ostensibly say it was their hit from Petra Praise 2. Their
Yes.
rendition of Lord, I Lift Your Name on High became a staple for them. Because I think I remember them playing it at the thing that I saw them do, to which I have to just imagine it's just a worship song that they enjoyed playing. And so Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, another worship song that they played at the Farewell concert. Final track, though, bit of a departure. Again, massively grateful that it's here, though. Their final live recording of Judas Kiss, sung by
Oh,
John
and
Schlett, and one of these occasions where I'm inwardly referring to this as a crossover song, because I'm realizing that there are some songs where the crossover of eras occurs, and John and Greg can both do. This is a song that John and Greg can both do, like, because John does this and he does it well. He really does it well.
He does. That's one of the notes I had on the song is this song really suits John's vocals. It really just sits in the way that they play it. It is, I mean, the moment that intro starts, you're just like, oh yes, like bring it on. And I love Paul Simmons' drumming in the song. He brings a really good element that's not on the That's not on the original. I mean, obviously it's a live recording, so it's not on that back on that, more power to you. It's a very different drum feel because Paul brings a very modern style to that drums. One of the things I really like is live, and I've talked before about this, and John Schlitz talked about this as well when we interviewed him. He talked about this as well, not specific to this song, but his propensity for forgetting words or getting words wrong. Now, there are multiple bootleg concerts online on YouTube, on whatever, you can find multiple bootleg concerts online where they do Judas Kiss and John Schlitt consistently mucks up the lines, gets sings lines from the second verse in the first verse, sings different parts, forgets a line, sings the same line twice. It happens consistently. I'm so glad he got it right. Obviously, they would have
Yeah,
been preparing quite hard, but
he's notable for that. The other thing that I really, really like about this recording of Judas Kiss, and this stands in contrast to much of the Farewell album, as well as in contrast to the rest of the songs in this one, you get Bob's guitar solo, his whole wandering guitar solo. And it's elements of it are identical to the More Power to You recording and how he was playing in Captured in Time and Space, but now he's also introducing some new elements, some new improv to this particular solo that just kill it, really do.
Oh, it was a killer solo. It's a real shame that this song was not included on the Farewell album. And I think I've read that this was the last song cut from the album, and it was cut with great reluctance. That they didn't want to cut it, but again, due to the time, due to the constraints of what they did, and I think, whether I don't know the exact reason why it was this song. I think if I think most Petra fans would would sit there and go, well, this would be one of the ones I wouldn't want to cut. Let's talk about this song a little bit more in a minute, because I want to throw up a question about that song. But it just, these last two songs really just, they bring a different life to the back end of the album. You've listened to these lovely songs of worship, these style, as you said, the heart coming through, and then you just power into. I really like Lord, I Lift Your Arm, just takes it to the next level, and again, I love the way they work in that, and you get in that, you get the encouragement, the audience participation. You get that element, which I think really helps. It's that different, which is really good from a worship perspective, because you've got that, you know, when a live worship feel brings the element of getting the, whether it be the congregation, the audience, whoever's there, participating and worshiping with you. And I think that's a really great element that, you know, some of the, you know, I think many of us, some of the earliest songs on this album, you often may have benefited from that choral or that or audience feel. You get those songs that you're like, oh, you know, this song is, you know, you normally expect a bit of, you know, a bit more of a crowd, or when you hear it with a crowd, it sort of, you know, has a different, you know, brings a different element to it. So, yeah, it was good that they were able to do that with Lord, I Lift.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. That's I'm right there with you. I mean, my minor thing is, you know, just I don't so much see this as these songs lifting, like the back end of an album. This is where for me I see this element of this being very much a home project, a DIY thing where we're not constructing an album in the same way you normally would for a studio release. This is we're laying these tracks all down to capture this thing we're doing. While we're here, let's give a little treat to the really faithful followers who will value this and appreciate this. We'll make these two bonus tracks available. We're not it's not about tying into the album and creating an album. It's just about just putting it out there. But Judas
Yeah.
Kiss, though. Yeah.
And herein lies the question. And I've got to go here, because this is a Petra recording. I want to ask the question, because yeah, we haven't really, like, this is, yeah, we sort of said this is very different. This is not, you know, I sort of don't feel that you can rank, you know, we've done our you know, that one of the staples of our series has been sort of the ranking of the albums. I don't feel it's fair to rank this album compared to the others, because it's
Not a
not the
Petra
full
album.
Petra album. It's a different thing. But Judas Kiss, this rendition of Judas Kiss is Petra. It is the recording from the live Petra album. And I want to throw it out there. How does this compare to the original? Like, when we look at our when we talk about our top songs and our favorite songs, Judas Kiss is one of the staples. It is a top five song, and I'm not, I'm wanting your opinion. How do you compare this live version to, and obviously we've got different vocalists and stuff, but how does this version compare to the previous one? Is this version of Judas Kiss worthy of being considered for our top 25?
So these are, see, I don't think, I mean, I'm not putting two versions of the song in the top 25.
No,
So what we're
I'm not
talking about
saying that.
considering here is this version, is this recording superior to
That's correct.
and I have actually it the other it's Captured in Time and Space is the other version, right? Or is it the album?
Captured it. The one that's on our 25 is the More Power to You version, the full song,
Yeah, okay, yeah.
the studio recording. We didn't include the Judas Kiss from Captured in Time and Space, because that was part of the
It's part
medley.
of a medley, that's right. So here's my conflict in this. There are elements, and it's the same, you know, any performer that you go and see live, you get a different life and a different vibe to whatever they perform. That's almost, no, it's not almost, it's impossible to replicate that in a studio. It's something about the chaos and the vibrancy of a live gig that I love, and I love that this track captures that. Greg Bailey and Paul Simmons are doing fantastic work here. Like, to a point where I'm not missing the classic lineup of Petra or the old school lineup of Petra. There's a fullness of the sound that they're managing to bring into this whole thing. And as you say, Bob's solo kills it. And it's a song that is well suited to John Schlitt's voice and his vocal style. And he kills it as well. However, there are just a few moments, and this could be a reflection of John being a bit older by the time they did this tour, could be a reflection of the fact that he was a bit older, and it's at the end of a long tour, at the end of a long night of singing. There are some high notes that he doesn't quite hit. He chooses to alter and pitch down a little bit, change just so he's not going up high. And it's just noticeable. And it's the kind of thing like, I'd have loved to hear him be able to just hit those high notes. Because I know that he could. Certainly back if this were John back in the day, he would have had no problem. Because in terms of range, he and Greg Vols, you know, pretty similar. So like I got a hard time. I feel really, really conflicted as to which version. So I'm gonna, for the moment, I'm gonna fob off giving a complete answer, Dave. Where do you stand with this one? Do you think that this boots the more power to your version?
It's an interesting, I think you've brought up some interesting points there, because I do agree with you that John Schlitt doesn't quite hit some of those high notes as opposed to Greg. And obviously, when the studio recording was done, the more power to you. This was Greg X Vols at his peak. Like, his voice was really, they were regular touring, regular rehearsal, regular going. Like, his voice was just probably at its best in that album. I think the other thing that I feel this song lacks a little bit of, because they're only four piece, I do notice that you can hear in the studio the work that John Schlitt was doing on the keyboards, and that underlying sound isn't quite there. That sort of support element isn't quite there.
That's true.
Now, having said that, I think Bob's playing of it is better. I think, and the solo is top notch, and it really is one of those ones that you could go either way. I mean, I think the other thing that probably misses a little bit is just a slight bit on the backing vocals. I just don't think that Greg Bailey on his own, that there's just not a bit of depth on the backing vocals that you get on the studio recording and on the Captured in Time and Space recording. Probably the biggest shame, what would have been brilliant is to get what they were doing on Captured in Time and Space and do it full song with this solo. I think it would have been untouchable. But we didn't get that full recording on Captured in Time and Space.
No. No, that's true. Ah, man, look, this is I look, I think you make me choose, you make me make a desert island choice, Dave, here. I might actually say go with this one. Go with the Farewell album, because something a bit like, I don't know, I can't recall if we spoke about this when we talked about Captured in Time and Space, and compared the versions there. But I know that if they had done the full song on Captured in Time and Space, then that is the version that would be on the on our top 25 list. And part of it is that element of being how Petra plays off a crowd. And beyond that, play off one another when they're playing live. Like, it's the big thing that I keep losing sight of and I never think about. But when you're doing studio work, it's incredibly rare. It's almost unheard of that musos are playing together. You play separately at separate times and mix your work together. Whereas when you're playing off each other, that dynamic changes in a way that I find difficult to define and describe, but I just know it when I hear it, and I hear it here, and I prefer it.
One of the things
I
I
think,
agree.
yeah.
Yes, sorry.
Go on.
I agree. I do think I prefer it. One of the things I want to do a bit of fantasy production for a moment, because this, as I said, this was recorded at the Farewell concert. Can you imagine what would have happened if they had allowed this song to become a duet? And John Schlitt does the first verse, and then onto the stage comes Greg X. Vols to sing the second verse, and then they start doing the chorus together. Can you imagine how that would have? That w I think that
That would
would have
have been
gone all time top of the list if they'd
huge.
done something like that.
And guess what else, Dave? John Lowry was there. I mean,
Yes.
just chuck him back out on again, please. Yeah, I look, that would have been an absolutely phenomenal kind of moment.
All
That
right,
if they
so.
had done that, David, I might be arguing to shift that recording to the number one spot on the list because that's
Yeah,
just kind of,
absolutely.
but
But talking about shifting, we've switched Judas Kiss to this live version. I'm going to ask you whether or not consider. I'm not saying it should, but we need to then ask ourselves whether this should be considered moving up. The song, as I said, this is a top five song. This is
yeah.
currently sitting in the number five position. So the next question to ask is, does this live version warrant consideration moving up? And the song above it is the live version of It Is Finished.
No. No, not a chance. Not a chance.
No, and I agree with that. I that It Is Finished off Captured in Time and Space is just there is something amazing about that. It is a notch above. Like we are talking, I really feel where what we've got singing in the top four at the moment are just that notch above. And I don't think this version of Judas Kiss quite. I think, like we said, if some of those higher notes had been hit and maybe they'd done something like we just said, if they'd had maybe John Lowry playing with them as well for this song, or Greg come out and do a bit of a duet with this song, this might have jumped straight up to one. But I think it still sits comfortably at five.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
for those of you who have been following along and from the beginning and just, oh, what does that mean? Well, our 25, we've put it out there, and we've put it on the Facebook page, and I have made these Spotify playlists. So if you want to search Spotify on rock retrospective, you can find these playlists on Spotify, and you can listen to them at your leisure. I've done the work for you. But it's sitting at number 5 behind this finished Grave Robber, Beyond Belief, and at number 1 is I Am on the Rock. So, you know, pretty comfortable when you consider that we're at the back end. Another Farewell, you know, that right behind it is Jekyll and Hyde Live. So we've got two songs off that Farewell tour, that Farewell recording, sitting in our top 6 songs. That again shows just what a great night that must have been.
Yeah. Kind of thing that you, if you had a time machine, right?
But no, I think it's good. So, you know, if you haven't heard this, it is out there. If you haven't got the CD, if you didn't buy it, I encourage you to listen to this. If you've never heard it, you will enjoy it. It is a very enjoyable album. As we said, we're not ranking this album. This is the one album we won't be ranking because of those differences, because it's not studio and it's not full Petra, but it is well worth the listen.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dave, surely that's it, right? Like this was just like something that the guys got out of their system. It was just circumstances came up. This is the last thing that Petra ever put out, or two guys from Petra ever put out there. And they put the last vestiges of it. Well, you know, what's left for us to do?
Yeah, well, I mean it does feel that way at times, doesn't it? And when you heard this, there were elements at times, like we're just saying, this Judas Kiss. I mean, it was classic Bob. It was classic Bob. He was playing this classic style, these classic recordings, and I'm sure that might have triggered in his mind that sometimes that there was a thing that seemed to happen in the 2000s about classic becoming the way to go again. And something tells me that we're in for a bit of a classic journey in our next episode. We're not finished. There's still more to come. I think we're going to go a little classic next episode.
Classic. Classic. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that, Dave. Those of you who know what we're talking about can stop rolling your eyes. Those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, you'll figure it out.
Go into Spotify and listen now.
All right.
After you listen to Vertical Expressions.
After you listen to Vertical Expressions. The final echoes of the Petrospective continue into the year 2023. We're happy to be continuing the journey. And as always, thank you all for coming along. Here's the big question. Are any of you who are listening to us out there the folk who are at this youth retreat?
Ooh, that would be awesome.
We'd love to hear from you and what that experience was of being led in your times of worship by John and Bob.
How can that, if they do, how can people let us, and it's not just necessarily maybe you were at one of them, we just said they did travel around and they went to some churches, they did some various venues just as two guys. If maybe you were there, maybe you got to experience that element. How can our listeners give us this feedback?
Well, On Rock, A Petrospective is on Facebook. And we like to engage as best we can on that means. So you can leave us a comment on our Facebook page, send us a message through there, or you can send us an email directly at wemeanrock@gmail.com. And we'll do our best to incorporate that.
The other place, I'll just throw it out there. I don't know how many of our listeners are linked to this forum, but the other place that we put links for the podcast and just, you know, people have the opportunity to comment is on the Petra Zone forums. Now, thepetrazone, go to the Petrazone forums if you're not a member. There's a lot of, and it's not just our podcast. There's a lot of, this is where Petra fans can gather to talk about Petra. So I encourage you, if you haven't checked out that, to jump on there, and you can comment and reflect there as well.
Awesome.
But we would love to hear from you. We keep saying we'd love to hear from you. We really enjoy hearing from you guys and connecting with you, and you know, reach out to us through Facebook and these various forums, and we'd love to continue to connect with you guys.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got to share. I want to send. I've got to share you a story that's come up. I want to do a bit of a shout out, just as we finish up, Lindsay, because I don't know if I've shared this story with you, but I got late last year, just before Christmas, I got a message from a guy. I think it was on one of the Petra fan pages. A guy commented about having discovered, stumbled onto the podcast, and noted that he was an Aussie. And I remember what it was now. He was talking about the latest reunion tour and whether or not there might be a video recording of it. And I connected with this guy, but he noted that he was an Aussie, and I just connected with him, just sort of saying, "Oh, look, you know, there's a couple of YouTube videos you can check out and all that." And then I encourage you. I just dropped the thing in there. And check out the podcast. And he reached back to me and ended up connecting with me through Facebook. His name's Aaron. He's an Aussie guy. And I want to send a shout out to him, because he was talking. He shared a little bit with me about his journey of life. But he sort of shared how, as he was growing up, Petra was a real core element to connecting him with God and bringing on the journey. And he's enjoyed listening to our journeys of how it's done. He sort of shared how some of that has helped. He had a similar experience of different parts of that Petra journey. But one of the things he sort of shared was he started listening to the series and shared with me how it's sort of been a real good thing for him to help sort of reconnect him with God. He'd been struggling a little bit. So I want to give a shout out to Aaron. So glad you've jumped on board, and it was good to connect with you, and I hope, continue to join us on this journey. I hope Petra continues to minister to your heart, and God really sort of continues to draw you to him. So yeah, it's good to hear from you, Aaron.
Right on. Thank you, Aaron. It's always good, and we do always love to hear from folk. If we don't bring you up on the podcast, I do my best to try and respond. Not always great at doing it quickly, but I cycle around to it eventually. But we got our regular folks who keep in touch with us, and we always love to hear from you. So we look forward to hearing your reflections on Two Guys from Petra. Worship till the cops. Oh, sorry, no. But until next time, I'm Lindsay Hall.
And I'm Classic Day Paul.
And I give you a classic. Catch you next time.